And we're here on the Cannon Podcast. Ken Brom from WGR Radio, Michael here, DetroitLions.com, talking 2024 Detroit Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. How you doing?
This, to me, now is when football starts. I know we've had the draft part. We had the free agency part. We had the aftermath of last season. But now, this, to me, is the beginning of the season. Do you agree?
I don't disagree. You know, I don't know if I had chosen a different point in the season, but no, I don't disagree with you at all. Having said that, though, just about every day and every minute of every day is football season in the National Football League. But I think you're right. This is where we really kind of turn our eyes towards 2024.
Yeah, even the rookie mini camp of a week or two ago, that's just a bunch of rookies and some draft picks out there. But this is when you get all the guys together. It was a great OTA day yesterday. To see, which yesterday I'm talking about is Thursday, the media got in to see finally the start of the 24th season. But it all started to me with the Dan Campbell press conference at the beginning of the day. Dan Campbell first, and then Aaron Glenn, and then the special teams coordinator. But Dan Campbell kind of set the tone for me. He had a little bounce in his step to me, Mike. I don't know how you saw it, even though I was sitting right next to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're probably talking about the same thing too. How he started the press conference with all the players who, recovering from this and that. And he must have named, 15, 20, 25 players.
Right.
And what, they'll all be ready on opening day or something.
Well,
like
he said
that.
They'd be probable, doubtful, or ready to go against the Rams. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was good.
Beyond that, tell me if your perception was different. And the perception me and Mike are telling you guys out there is that we were sitting next to each other. So this will go to show you who was paying attention and who wasn't. But anyway.
I was paying attention to you.
I just saw, and I even said it in the question that I asked him about, knowing before they thought they could do it before, now coming back in that they know they can do it, and did it permeate through the locker room? I just felt a self assuredness. I don't know if Dan was with himself, with the coaching staff or the team, but it was just like, you talk to somebody and they know they got something, and they know you don't know yet, and that's just the feeling I got by his whole aura during that press conference.
No, I'd agree with that too, and I think he just sort of had the feeling and the look of a guy who's we're in the race. We're in the race, and most of you guys aren't, but our team is in the race.
Right.
That's sort of the way I took it. And if I were him, it's exactly the way I'd feel too, because I think the Detroit Lions are in the race right now. Right now.
Yeah, you hope. And you got to be careful. Mike, even if I go back to 91, and maybe you can go back to this with me.
Sure.
Even though they finished 12-4 that year,
yeah,
it's like they missed a step. Because they went from, not playoffs to 12-4, if my memory serves me correctly. And they weren't a complete team as this team here. They had a good run during that. But if you think back to it, Washington was always the better team that year. And they made it known twice that year. It was still steps to go, even though they finished 12-4 and went to the NFC Championship. This team right here, to me, is a team that's on par with any other team in the NFC.
Well, I mean, to me, the big difference between the I can get into the stats and all that before I do that, though. To me, the big difference between the 1991 team and the 2023 team or 2024 team, whichever way you want to take it, is that the 1991 Lions, like you said, it went 12-4. But it was the quarterback of the day. They didn't have a quarterback or a player that you knew was going to be their starting quarterback from start to finish. No way at all. They played three quarterbacks.
Right, and that team went from no playoffs to 12-4. That's what I'm saying. It didn't go like they missed out the year before the playoffs or they lost the first playoff game. They hadn't been to the playoffs since 83, I believe. When
1983, correct. Yeah, so, with a really good football team.
Yeah, so that's why it's a little different. But this team, to me, is a real deep team, and we're going to get into what happened on the field in a minute, or just, the OTA, which are OTAs. But that part, and then when Aaron Glenn came up, I saw from him, don't tell me if you got this also, that I finally got parts to play the defense the way I want to play it now. And the only thing we need to do now is just get better every day and let our talent show.
I agree with you on that too, Kenny. And I think what he's saying is, you know, they've played shorthanded, and they're not that way anymore. He's talking about smothering, you know, smothering football. That's what I like to play. Well, you know, who wouldn't? But now he's got the assets to do it.
Yeah, and Aaron Glenn takes a lot of heat in the not media community, but just say the social media community of Detroit about the defenses the last 3 years. And they call for his firing and he's a bad coordinator, whatever. But to me, that he hasn't had the pieces until now. Overall, he's got a piece here and a piece there. Like, they added Hutch 1 year, you know, last year they added Jack Campbell, which was a learning experience for him, but they basically went offense last year. And I just think that now they have a young defense and young defensive pieces. They're still missing a piece to me, but we'll get into that in a minute. But I just feel that that cornerback room and that back defensive backfield room, the way they finished the season when guys were getting 150 yards, just walking out of their sleep against them, that was a big concern, and Brad Holmes addressed it.
Well, look, this is just my opinion. I think you're starting on defense at a disadvantage every snap of every game. The advantage is to the offense. You got to find a way to solve that. You got to find a way to work around it. And I don't think AG here in Detroit in his first 3 years has been in any, you know, I think he's really faced the situation that every offensive coordinator, except for maybe two or three in the league, of how do I stop a high powered offense, and it's hard to do.
Yeah,
just the way it is. That's the way the National Football League is now.
Exactly, especially when they're so good against the run that you know they're going to pass on you. So, you know, and hopefully they'll be as good this year against the run. I don't see why they shouldn't. So, knocking that pass defense down, if you take, you know, 50 yards or 40 yards a game off the pass, you know, pass yardage number, that's a big difference. That can difference between maybe a top 20 defense to a top 15 to a top, you know, top 10 defense. It can change that much.
Yeah, well, and also, as you know, if you got a, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, if you've got a winning record like the Lions at 12-5, you're going to be giving up more passing yardage than running yardage. You're playing against teams that have got to throw the ball to catch up.
Right.
And so there's a big difference there.
Right. And if that's the case this year because of the offense that people are going to throw behind, I want to see more turnovers by the defense. They were okay last year. They had a drought during the year, during the middle of the year, where they didn't get any, and then Campbell addressed and said, we got to start taking it over more. But I want to see from start to finish them taking the ball away more, and I think that's another reason why they addressed that defensive backfield.
Well, the defensive backfield, yeah, absolutely. But some of those young players, you know, like Jack Campbell, I think, from what they said about him yesterday, I think he's a genuine middle linebacker, Mike linebacker. They really haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a minute. I'm glad you brought that. Well, let's get to it now then. He mentioned a couple of players specifically in the press conference. We'll give Jack Campbell first. What do you think that meant, Mike? Do you think that means that he's going to get the green dot? And whose time does he take? Because, you know, last year Jack Campbell moved all over. Sometimes they've had him rushing at defensive end. So I'm just wondering, if they just put him as a middle linebacker, Mike, then whose time comes off? Who comes out of there?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's I think something will develop through the rest of the offseason, and then when you get to training camp and all that. I don't think you really can say right now. I mean, I don't think Alex Anzalone is in any difficulty there, but
Derek Barnes might give up some time.
Who?
Derek Barnes might give up some time.
I was just there. I think so. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at Jack Campbell as an every down linebacker. Not everybody else on that defense has that.
As he should be, because with the size and dimensions he has, plus now he's getting better learning.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just find 6'5" guys as your middle. I mean, go back and look at the middle linebackers. You know, they're not built like him. And he's got the talent. And like I said, the end of the season was coming on. So put him in – whatever they do, put him in one position and leave him and let him play it. That's the way I see it.
That, Right, but that one position can line up in different spots, too, and still be playing the same position.
Well, I'm just saying put him in one position. Don't be putting him on the line of scrimmage and rushing him and blitzing him and all that stuff. Let him learn one position, and then you can move off from there in later years. Another thing I saw during the OTA – oh, let me get to this other part. The name Campbell mentioned first, and I don't even know if it was asked for, he just brought it up, was Jameson Williams. And he sang his praise.
He said he was
far and away the most improved player from the start of off season to now. What do you make of that?
I'm taking my glasses off for this one, okay? And as you know, I'm a Jameson Williams fan. I like the kid. I just do. Right? He had some trouble in the first couple of years. Yeah, you're right. In the third year of the season, the guy was drafted first. Drafted in the first round, and I think what 12th overall, shouldn't have to have that much improvement in his third year. He should already be right up there. Look at there's a guy right next who plays right next to him there in the Detroit Lions offense, who did pretty well in his third year. Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I don't think it's necessarily a good sign that he'd had so much improvement to make, or he's making so much improvement in his third year with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, but he's had different things going on in both of the years. Right. The first year, he didn't even play. That was a wash.
I agree.
And then he got suspended last year for first, how many games that ended up. Was it four they ended up with or six? I can't remember how many he ended up doing.
Six, and ended up with three.
Ended up with three, okay. So, it's been, and then he got hurt in training camp last year when at least, before the season started where he would have been suspended, he could have got more time in. This really, and we got to cross our fingers because he hasn't got the training camp yet. If he gets his training camp in this year, this will be the first full off season and training camp he'll be able to have been through. So I expect some improvement, but to be the most improved, and you saw it coming on at the end of the year. If you remember the San Francisco game, he scored two TDs in it. I mean, come on now. So he had been coming on.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm just saying, though, in your third year, you should have done that in your first and second years.
Yeah. So I was interested in that. Deep team. Now, we can go back to the practice field after we went out and actually saw the guys play around. The defensive backs are going to be much improved. That Carlton Davis, who I wasn't a fan of giving up a third-round pick if they weren't going to sign him long-term. I got to admit, Mike, I was kind of impressed with that guy yesterday. Can press. And that takes a lot of pressure off your rookie to have to be the number one cornerback, Terry and Arnold. He can slide over to the two spot and ease him in slowly. He won't have to play the best receiver on another team every week.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think, though, that Terry and Arnold feels any extra heat by that. He seems to have the temperament that things like that just kind of roll off him. But we'll see. Look, it's a different game, and as much as we think about him, he's playing a different game than he's ever played.
Yeah. Another thing that was talked about yesterday, and I believe Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell talked about it, was the new defensive line coach, Terrell Williams.
Right.
And, Mike, I don't know if you got this out of that, but he talked about Deshae Townsend a little too. One of them did. I think it was Aaron Glenn did. I didn't get how great they were, even though Campbell said Terrell Williams is one of the best two defensive line coaches in the league. He believes that. But by them, I got out of it. They weren't happy with the guys they had there last year more than how good they are, even though these guys are good. I got a feeling these guys are coaches they want to work with, and they really weren't happy with the guys last year.
Well, kind of thought of that. I mean, they've been changing defensive line coaches since they got there, and if they've settled on one that kind of rises above all others, then so much the better. And you certainly should benefit from that.
Yeah. And like I said, you can't tell much what happened yesterday in OTAs because there's no pads, whatever. But you can just see guys. What I look for is see guys move around, see guys how they look out on the field, just, competing and just the way they go about their work. That's the kind of stuff I look for. And I'm going to tell you two people that stood out. Three people stood out to me. One of them might surprise you, Mike, was Levi Onwuzurike was running with the ones, even though a lot of the D tackles were out. A year ago, man, I remember the first OTA last year, they were bending down doing a talk, like a timeout talk. he could barely get up. Remember, he was right after the surgery. He was just getting back in. He didn't have pads on. He had regular shoes on. He was slowly bending or whatever. Just him being out there and being with the ones is a great improvement over this year. And people have really kind of brushed him off. Will he make the team or whatever? But, guys, he wasn't drafted in the second round for a reason. I mean without a reason. He has a lot of talent. Now, how much he can get back after the back surgery is one thing, but don't sleep on that guy, man, because he's got all the talent in the world, or had it before the back surgery.
Well, he's been there 3 years now and hasn't really been close to what they projected. You have to assume it's because of the injuries. And we'll see. This is probably one of those seasons. I don't know if it's make or break, but I think it's as close to it as you can get.
Well, yeah, isn't this last year's contract, too? So, like you said, this is make or break for him. And when the cuts come at the end of the camp, if the young guys are moving on up, they'll move. If it's that close or you're behind, they'll move on. I mean, even though it was a second-round pick, the way this team is now with the deepness, there's going to be some good players getting cut in that last cut.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that happens, or if they move some players before they could get cut. If you see a cut-down's coming on a guy, you might want to trade him for a draft pick or something like that. Right. The one thing this is just an overall observation for me. I don't know, take it, for what it is. I just thought I saw speed on the field yesterday. Speed. I like that. I like a fast team. That just kind of, the little bit I watched, and when I wasn't talking, but I saw speed, and that's what I liked.
You know what, Mike? It's funny you said that, because you saw speed. I heard speed. I know this sounds crazy when out there, but Mike, you've been out there and you can just listen as plays are running. You don't have to look, and you just listen to the way the cleats hit the turf, hit the grass. And you can tell fast speed and not fast speed. You can tell when guys aren't really, running out. I heard speed, and I agree with you. I heard it. I heard crispness. I heard, that. And I agree exactly with you. That team is like that. Now, they're just not the track team, though. Let's get this off the bat, because I'm going to tell you right now. Giovanni Manu is one of the biggest human beings I've seen out there. There was a guy they had last year that was like 6'9". I think he's with the Giants now, Swoboda or whatever. He was a big guy. Yeah. He was like 6'9", big guy. Yesterday. Couldn't play a lick. This kid, man, I'm telling you, man, I don't know how long it's going to take him to get up to speed with NFL or whatever, but he has tools. I was watching him. And looking at him, if he can't do anything else, just let him come off the bus first when you go to other cities, and just let him stand on the sideline by the coach. I mean, he's just huge, man. That's just a block. And like I said, if he could play any type of football, you might have a player in a year or two.
Well, yeah, this is a player. He's going to get a good long look, too, because there's no pressure to, we have to have him ready on opening day or anything like that. He can. Play at his own pace, within
limits. Reason.
Yeah, within limits, within reason. But he's going to get a good long look. And if it's what they think it is or what they hope it is, if they can translate and transfer the athleticism they saw in him to the National Football League playing field, then they'll have a ball player.
Now, what tells me that he's farther along than people even thought was where he was repping plays yesterday. He wasn't first team and he wasn't second team. Well, he was second. He was third team. But he was repping at left tackle. If they thought it was a long-term project to get him on the field, you would have saw him at right guard or right tackle somewhere to get him on the field. If he's repping at left tackle, that means he's ahead of where a lot of you guys think he is. He's not ready. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's going to be the starter. But if he's left tackle, if he has left tackle movement right now, and they think he can, become a left tackle in the league eventually, then you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game.
We'll see. Yeah, absolutely. Every little thing means something.
Now, the last person I looked at, Mike, and I get ready, cover your ears, the backup quarterback, Hendon Hooker. No, I could have let you string along for a while, but I'm not even going to hold you out.
You stuck it in there before I could say it.
I have to look at the backup quarterback, because to me that's most important. And we've seen some bad ones, the Brad Kayas, the what was the guy from Michigan, Jake Ruddock, and Rudock, or whatever you want to call him.
Rudock.
We've had some bad ones over time. don't know about you, Mike. Like I said, he's not ready to start. Like, now, if you guys come up there with this a quarterback battle, I'm hanging up on anybody. But he
really can I hang up?
Yeah. But I saw some stuff out of him that I'm impressed with. And then Brad and Dan Campbell's presser yesterday, he said something to me that makes me more confident that Hooker's going to be the backup for more than just this year. He said, we don't need him to come in and win a game.
Yeah.
We need to come in and make sure he runs the offense, can function and manage the game, and get us through it if we need him. That's exactly what he said in paraphrasing.
Well, but if they need him, then he goes in and, well, then they need him to win a game.
Yeah, but he specifically said we don't need him. When he said don't win a game, I think he's meaning you don't have to come in and become Patrick Mahomes and, you know, be the reason why you won by yourself. I think that's what he meant by win a game. You come in and you become the point guard and you get the ball to the playmakers, don't make mistakes and move the ball. I think that's what he's saying as a functioning quarterback, what they want out of him. And he's going to have all camp because he said, look, the third string guy, whose name has escaped me at the second, he's not playing right now. Sutfeld is out, so he's getting second and third string reps, which is good. He's going to get all the preseason stuff because I can't guarantee it, but if Goff didn't play a down last preseason, I don't see why he's playing one this year.
No, why would he?
Yeah, so he's going to get most of the preseason reps, and he'll have a chance to solidify that backup role. And, Mike, he'll have 3 years on his contract. In 3 years, then you reevaluate the situation. But you're going to need him sometime in the next 3 years. But everybody wants to trade him to the Giants and get rid of him and whatever. What do you think? What are you going to do at backup if you get rid of him? Develop him yourself. Then if you have to deal him, you're dealing for more than you got him for. You're dealing for more than third-round pick because if teams see how good he is, they're going to want to trade for him. So you're in a no-lose situation.
Right, and if things work out the way you want them to, you'll be in a no-gain position because you won't have to play because your quarterback didn't get hurt.
That's what I'm saying. I want him to play this year, but I want him to play on some mop-up roles after you take the starter out. That's what I want to see. I want to see some 35 to 10 games with 5 minutes left in the game. I want to see that this year from the Lions. And you're going to see some of them.
But I don't think a quarterback necessarily learns a lot from that, just mop-up work. So I do you go in and you hand off just about.
Well, you learn how to hand off. We got to start somewhere. Hey, Mike, we've seen quarterbacks that couldn't even hand the ball off.
I've seen the ball been dropped.
That's right. Just to get the feel of being in a regular season game, you know what I'm saying? Even like you said, you're not going to learn a lot out of it. But you do get to line up and go out there and the fans yelling and screaming and you do your count. So there's always something to get out of it. But I think I don't attend a lot of the practices during the season. How much does a backup practice, get reps during a practice during the season?
With the number one offense?
Yeah. He doesn't run the scout team. The third string runs the scout team, right?
Maybe a handful.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So let's get the preseason in. Any other stuff you saw yesterday that intrigued you before we cut it loose today?
No, it just seemed like a team that was ready to get ready to play ball. You know, I mean, like I said, they're ready to play ball. They might be able to, but I just think they're ready to get along and start playing ball and do what they did a year ago, except with a little better result at the end.
What Dan Campbell say is Super Bowl or bust. He said, I don't know what bust is. It's Super Bowl. I don't know about bust. I don't know what busting is. So you got to go for it. The schedule to me is a hard schedule, but it's a fair schedule. It's right there for you. You only have 3 outside games out of 16 or 17. Now, excuse me, 3 out of 17. And one is the Bears in December, Green Bay in November. And I don't know what the third one is. Does Arizona count as an outside game because they got the roof that closes, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, they got 3 outside games. And the team is built for turf. This fast team is built for that. So it'll be interesting. Now, next week, I'm sure, they haven't said it yet, but I'm sure that Ben Johnson will be the one talking before the OTA, you know, next time when they were able to do it. They usually switch them up, right?
Next Thursday, I would assume. I mean, everybody gets their shot at it.
Yeah, because the offensive coordinator didn't do it this time, so it'll be offensive coordinator's time. So that'd be interesting to pick his mind, and we'll podcast after next week's OTA. But enjoyable first day out there. And I just think this team, like I said, and Dan said himself, you know, we're at the level 400s now, you know, of a class work. Like he said, this is four-year right. guys now. And he said, you got to put the work. Because I asked him, I said, what do you have to do now? You don't want to, you know you're good. You know you can do it. He said, yeah, but if you don't do the little things up to that point, which is the proper way a coach does it, if you don't do the things that got you where you are, you're not going to go any farther. And you got to do the stuff to get to be one of those teams. So this is the interesting part with the Lions to me, Mike. Getting there and staying there. Not because they never had an experience. And I don't think any other teams had experience staying. They've got there, but they didn't stay. This will be the first time, like, you know, 92 after the 91 season, they went back down. I don't think they made the playoffs. A lot of things happened.
They didn't make the playoffs, but they made the playoffs four times in 5 years.
Right, but I'm talking about the next year after that championship year, into the NFC championship, they didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, I know they went after that, but they have to sustain it, you know, back to back. That's what I want to see. I want to see them. And they may not win 12 games this year, but if they win the division, then they'll be ready for the playoffs. And
starts
with the division. But look, if it comes down to those last 4 or 5 weeks, and you got a chance to get the best record overall, and you get the two home games at home and to go to the Super Bowl, that's what you want. And like I said, I didn't like the game at first, but that San Francisco game being late in the year, that game might be for something now after I started thinking about it.
Well, it's going to be something for somebody.
Yeah, or it could be both teams are clinched. But if it comes down to them, that game for, you know, home field advantage through the playoffs, ain't that going to be a great sight?
Absolutely. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Michael Herr, that's our first of the off-season podcast starting. I could start this week as the new year. So we'll be back after OTA next week with our part two of the year. Are you excited now to get some football going, Mike?
I'm sitting down. So I don't fall down.
All right. Well, that's Michael Herr, DetroitLions.com. Check out the content on there. They have pictures of the OTAs, pictures of the workouts, the ones we don't see. Always keep abreast of what's going on. And on the Rich Album Show on 760 WGR, we have Alex Anzalone on Mondays next year, or this year coming up. And we have a secret player on Fridays whose name I cannot mention yet. So we'll be doing I can't mention the name yet.
Well, you can tell me.
I can't mention the name yet, but stay tuned for that one. You'll enjoy it. So we'll see. All right, Mike, see you next week.
All right, sounds good.